Summerline with you, 844-RADIO US, 844-723-4687, Cyberline. You can catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/cyberline.net. Friend us, we'll let you in. And of course, anytime, day or night, wherever you may be, host 2018 at cyber-line.com. Be checking the mail and talking about anything you want to talk about. And let us know what stations you're on, like KBEU in Camden, Arkansas, listening to us. Shoot us an email. Let us know what you think of the show and when you're listening to us and whatever station you're listening to us on. We'd love to find out. And who knows, we might be coming to your town to do a remote. Okay, so you got something about these special headphones.
Yeah, you know, Google has these things called Pixel Buds. And you remember how we were always talking about how, you know, when you're growing up, you're sitting there going, wouldn't it be great to talk all these different languages?
Yep.
Wouldn't it even be more fun if you didn't have to?
Or watching Star Trek and have the Universal Translator.
Exactly. Well, these things are kind of mini versions of the Universal Translator. They got these things called, like I said, Pixel Buds. You put them in your ear, and you got to have a phone, and you got to have a connection to the internet and all that kind of stuff. But at least if you put it in your phone, you're able to carry on a conversation with someone else in another language. And what ends up happening is it translates it in these Pixel Buds. You'll be able to hear whatever they say in your language. So that's what I've always wanted to do, is be able to go over there and understand everything that's going on in another country and be able to at least get around.
And you'll finally realize how the French truly think about you.
Right. Yeah. But if you can go over there, now the phones can do it now. That's good. But to have the extra link with the Pixel Buds, it's nice to have something so solid and integrated into one unit.
Right.
So you go over to, say, where is it? The Netherlands, or you go over to Copenhagen, these other countries. Most of them speak a lot of good English, but if you do come across somebody that's not speaking English, then you'll be able to communicate with them and at least have a conversation.
And when you're in Copenhagen, you can ask them and translate, where's the good marijuana?
It's
legal there.
Is it legal?
Yeah.
Oh, Amsterdam it is.
Amsterdam, there you
no,
go.
No, Amsterdam it is. I'm not sure about Copenhagen.
I don't know. Either way, you can say to them, they'll tell you back. It's like, oh, yeah, it's down the road, you know.
Well, I went through Amsterdam. It was fun, but that's another story for a different time.
There you go.
Having these translated, here's another thing that was very cool with Google, with my phone, was I was able to, I came across a sign, and I was like going, gee, what does that sign say? And you're able to hold your phone up to it, and then the way it's got it set up is you take a picture of it with the translator, and then you kind of draw a line. You draw your finger across the lines that you're wanting it to read, and then it just reads it to you. It does the translation for you, and it couldn't be more fantastic. It might, it just might say, stop, keep off the grass, whatever you're
danger
looking
radiation
at.
Zone.
Danger radiation. There you go. Yeah. Uh-oh. Get out of here.
So now you've been just, x-rayed about five times while you're trying to translate it.
But a lot of these things, translation is a big part of life that it's just getting easier and easier every day.
Yeah. And the minute we teach everybody else to learn English, all of this stuff will be obsolete.
What's going to end up happening is we'll talk on the phone and in real time, as we're talking on the phone, it will be translating it to the other person on the other side and probably give you a really good translation between the two, and you won't worry about it. I remember many years ago, I went to another, I had an issue with a phone, and I wasn't a phone. It had a software programming issue.
Yeah.
And I went over to another site, and this was 10 years ago, back when the translation technology was very rudimentary. But I couldn't find the programming issue anywhere over here. But I found the exact phrase I was looking for, the error message I was looking for, over in another country. Went over onto that website, and that's when you could still, Google Translate was just starting out.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And sure enough, it was really bad at that time, the translation was. But there was enough translation there. There was enough meaning from the words that it gave me. I was like going, oh, now I understand. And I was able to fix my bug by using, back then I thought it was pretty cool. Nowadays
it's getting Google
a lot
Translate
more.
When I'm on Facebook, there's people from other countries trying to tell me stuff
uh-huh.
that's rather derogatory. And I can actually go into Google Translate and then bring it back over to Facebook and tell them how to go screw themselves in their language.
Well, yeah, that's what you want to use. Yeah, all right. No, that's awesome.
I've said that in Russian, Ukraine, and about 8 other different languages across different people I've met on Facebook.
Well, sometimes you just got to get the proper meaning.
Your country sucks. Go screw yourself in Russian.
So, anyway, it worked out fantastic for me. Not bad at all to be able to do something like that.
Good.
Oh, what else we got? You know, I was overlooking at, saw an article recently. The government lost its case to be able to wiretap Messenger, Facebook Messenger.
Yay!
And I'm just wondering, yeah, that's what we're getting into nowadays. There's so many issues where our governments are trying to listen in on all this, everything that's going on. When are we going to get back to the point where we start really just trying to go out there and I love the whole Star Trek, the way it starts out, you know, space, the final frontier. Yep. These are the missions of the Starship Enterprise.
Yep.
To boldly go out where no one's gone before. Those are fantastic ideals and dreams. And instead, we still have to look at things that are going on today where our government wants to come in and be able to wiretap our messenger, Facebook Messenger.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there like that. And I do want them to keep us safe. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of it comes down to there's a Fourth Amendment that basically says yeah. that they need to get a court order supported by oath or affirmation that says specifically what things can be searched. And they really have to have a good reason to search.
I want to know what they're looking for.
Yeah, I do too.
I think first thing I'm thinking is they're looking for child porn. You know, predators out there trying to pick up people that maybe in private chat or something like that.
Right.
Then the and, drug dude's like, hey, man, do you know how much the pot is in Amsterdam?
You know, there's a variety of, there's tons of laws out there that we can all be, you know, that they're looking for to see who's broken. But that doesn't mean that we are able, that we just simply abrogate our rights under the Constitution. Bill of Rights was put there for a reason. And although a lot of this intent, I know that there's a lot of intent out there that it seems like it should be good. If we did this, we would just eliminate all law. But you also eliminate all freedom when you're doing something like that, yeah. too. Because what can happen when you're listening in on every conversation? Well, then all of a sudden you change what's going on. And someone says something that may not, that's not illegal at all, but it offends somebody. And I'm talking about maybe it makes somebody in the government mad. Maybe you're going with one party versus another party. And we sure have a lot of that going on right now in that we're looking at a state where Facebook can't even post our own maybe inflammatory ideas, you know, their clickbait ideas or, you know, it's just stuff that's a little bit pushing.
They're trying to go screw themselves in Russian ideas.
Yeah, but legal. They keep talking about it being inflammatory and things like that. And, you know, that's the nature of arguments. That's the nature of politics
what
in the first place.
I'm finding fascinating is we're becoming like the EU in some ways because of all this stuff that's happening with Facebook, with the purging of sites and all of these things. Now our government is starting to kind of talk amongst themselves and getting committees together to possibly start talking about rules for social media. And I find that very odd because, I mean, it's one thing if you're the press, like, you know, rules for the press and then you have rules for television and what you can say and everything. But with social media, that is very quasi. And it's like, first off, do you really want rules for social media telling it what it can do and what it can't? Now, Charlie Jones and I talked on his show, and he's, of course, dead set against it. I think he may be turning. I'll have to find out this Wednesday when we're on again.
Here, let me give you the rules that the one rule that the government needs to impose on social media. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There you go. That's the rule. First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, in the U.S. Constitution.
Great.
There we go.
How do you get Facebook to enforce it?
Well,
see, that's government.
Facebook is a private company.
Right.
And no, I don't think that Facebook should be imposing rules.
See, this is kind of also the Tesla thing. They look at stuff like this, and we're starting to get a cross between blurred lines and mission creep. Mm-hmm. It is a private company, or public company now, because it's traded. And you basically make your rules. You don't pay for it. They say, well, you don't like it, get out. We don't make you pay for it. And just like with Tesla, they're also having an issue. It's like, okay, well, are you a computer company or are you a car company? Because you deal in computers and all this stuff going into the cars, and they're supposed to be autonomous and all this we're getting to, but yet it's a car. Which one do you want to be? You can't have it both. And then under the DMCA, which just recently celebrated its 18th anniversary in ungodly existence, is now saying, with the safe harbor rule. And this is how Facebook and the others are protected. Because all of those things in the chats and all the inflammatory remarks and everything, they can't be held responsible under the safe harbor rule, which is what also happens with magazines and other print. And so it's like, okay, well, do you keep these in tow? Or do you have to do something about it? Because now these guys are a conduit for news. They're a conduit for speech, for thought. All of these things that pass through Facebook. And whether you like it or not, the people are probably getting more about their antics in politics than they are from the major networks, because all of the millennials, they're not watching CBS, NBC, and ABC, or Fox. Mm-hmm. They're getting all their stuff, what they're being told and spoon-fed, off of Facebook.
Right.
So it's a very quasi-line.
There is a lot. You're right. I mean, when it gets down to all this stuff, you've got so many postings.
Should I regulate them as a newspaper, or should I beat them with a big stick?
Right. And I can't sit there and go, because anything that's on Facebook, you can't sit there and say it's facts, because it may be factual. It may not be factual.
Right.
So it is something that people have written down. And maybe it is factual, and you can take it with a grain of salt. Yeah. Stuff like that you're reading off of Facebook, you still have to verify it for yourself.
And then I got people on Facebook telling me after the 2016 election, oh, those are Russian trolls that started this whole thing.
Oh.
And they make little videos of a shirtless Putin trying to tell you what really happened and everything to the election and all this. And I'm like, no, you got screwed. You got schooled. They played you like a fiddle. And guess what? You got egg on your face, and you're going to have to suck it up, because you're a great guy who thought, oh, algorithms can do everything. Guess what? They didn't.
Right.
And Zuckerberg got zinged.
Yeah. Are you talking about specifically, or are you talking about Hillary, or are you talking about?
I'm talking about the whole way that they manipulated social media to make money off the ads and everything.
Right. Oh, okay.
And didn't matter the collateral damage.
You're right, and that's what it was.
All this
that's
crap.
What it was all about. Was it wasn't about any manipulation of a political election. It was about getting cash.
Yeah, you had a country divided. You had a bunch of Russian guys out there with cryptocurrency and everything banked up. And they turned around and looked at this and said, you know what? This is a crisis here. These people are at each other's throats. Let's profit from this.
That's right.
And they proceeded to do so.
And they did.
And they used Facebook's algorithms and everything they set up to play each sides of the fence. Adnan Khashoggi, the world's greatest arms dealer, would be rolling in his grave by seeing how much money was made by playing these two sides off.
I guess the biggest issue with the whole thing, if Hillary had won, we never would have seen anything about this.
No.
It would have been, they just moved on past it. But since she didn't, they've made this out to be the ultimate evil. Well, all they really did was to try to make some money.
Yeah.
And
they bought ads, and then they had bots that went ting, 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 and hit the ads, so they made money. But you could trigger an algorithm or something and go, hey, what's going on over there? So they whip up the electorate, and then they go out and start posting stuff. Meanwhile, they're hiding behind the real humans and going ting, 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 ting. And then all of those ads get in, and then a check gets cut over or whatever electronically to these guys for all the ad hits, and then they take the money and run.
Now, but are you asserting that the clicks were robots, or were they actual people that were just, just fed up and going, oh, that makes me mad. I've got to click that and see what more about
both.
Okay.
Both. Because you have the people that came in and they have, I have company XYZ and I want to buy ads on Facebook. Okay, great. How much is it? Here's the money in crypto. We bought the ad. Then they created bots to go over to their ads and click. Just ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. But if you only see that on its own, so you put people around it. You get them to share it and everything, and then they start clicking and clicking. Meanwhile, you're feeding in the background and making the clicks bigger. And before anybody notices, you get that money in the bank, you split. That's exactly what happened. All right, we'll be back with some final thoughts. Listen to Quim Sarwell. Cyberline with you. I ain't gonna get from Nebraska last piece. But anyway, just want to say shout out to Doc Bryce, the program director extraordinaire over at KBU in Camden, Arkansas. Came into town this week, and we had a nice little get together here at the studios here at Cloud 10. We walked into the middle of John David Wells' show, The Wells Report, heard on many of the USA radio stations. And they sat down for about 20 or 30 minutes talking about the good old days, and they worked together at Cliff. And I tell you, this is pretty neat in the fact that we're on in Camden. And we're on in a lot of places, not as many as I'd like to be. But I think we're going to get to the point where, as we wind down these last couple of months, because you know we're going to start hunkering down for Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and all the other holidays that are to come. And I think in January, we're going to start hitting the ground and see about getting us on a tour and trying to go out to stations and see about doing some remotes. And Video Bob needs to get out of the town more often anyway.
Yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah. So back in the old days, we did Houston.
Uh-huh.
Long time ago, 2002, 2003. And, of course, we did that world-famous Rock and Roll Hall of Fame broadcast.
All right.
In July of 2003, I think it was. And I think we need to start stretching out again. I think we need to go find somebody in Cleveland.
Well, we got CES coming up in January. That's always good.
Did you get your ticket?
Not yet, but they just put out for them. I'll try and do
so
that.
So when's the press? I thought the press closed up in October, didn't it?
No, I think I thought it opened up in October.
Okay.
I thought I just got the stuff came through very recently.
You get that going. I want to go this January, and I say that every January I want to go. Couldn't go last year because we just got the show back on the air. But I'd like to see by getting into Vegas and going down there for a week.
Right.
It's been a while.
Well, lots of good stuff at CES. Really exciting things.
Yeah. So I think that's something we need to do. And there's a station that's for rent up there in the Stratosphere. Because they'll let you come in and have all the systems to broadcast back and everything.
Not bad.
May have to look into that again. Last time we were just about to do it 1 year, and they told us that, we don't want to have you up here because you won't talk about Las Vegas. Dude, we'll talk about Las Vegas. We'll have the mayor on. We'll do anything you want. That's what we're here for.
Right.
We're here for Vegas.
Yeah, and then we got one other thing. Let's see. In November, I'll be going up to San Francisco. There is a Google conference up there for the Chrome development.
Ah, okay.
And I'm going to go check that out.
Got to go check that out. Good, good.
Lots of fun. Lots of things to travel to and check out.
Good. And, of course, we were watching, Doc and I were talking this week about the massive drops in the stock market.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, I was looking at that.
That was 800 points. I think it was that one day, and we looked at each other and said, screw it, we're going to breakfast. Shut the notebooks down. So there's no point in going. But I'm watching a lot of stuff, especially Ford. Ford is really taking a hit, and a lot of it because of the tariffs. And I am amazed at people, the farmers, the automobile companies, all these people that are dealing and struggling with China on these tariff hits. And a lot of them, most people, you would think, oh, my God, I can't take these hits. But, you know, they are really taking the hits despite everything, and I think it has a lot to do with Trump.
I think you're right, and I'm really glad to see that he's doing what he's doing. And why? Because it's, you know, granted, it is tough on the, you know, the industries that are having to suffer through this right now. There's no doubt about that. But there's other industries in this country that are suffering, too, because of the tariffs that were out there. And what Trump is trying to do is to balance everything. You know, he's already said that what he'd really like to see is zero tariffs all the way around everywhere. So I'd like to see that, too.
And I've seen a lot of people in the press saying, well, you know, you voted for him. And you knew he was going to do this. Well, what do you think of it now? And they're like, well, we're hanging in there.
Right.
Because this is what we wanted, and we want to have a fair playing field. And most people, you know, the press has always said, oh, these people are going to get fed up with it, and they're going to leave and everything. But it's amazing how many people are getting together in solidarity, not just from farming or from automotive, but even from manufacturing of tech and all these places where they're like banding together and they're putting trust in the guy.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff is now these different contracts are getting together. And of course, the USMCA and going to replace NAFTA and all of that. And I'm quite fascinated by the solidarity that we have in our economy.
And it's rough right now, but in the end, we'll all be better for it. So I'm glad they're allowing it and letting it happen.
That's right. So boys, hang in there. It won't be too much longer. And it won't be too much longer until this show's back around again. So, in the words of the great immortal Orson Welles, we remain, as always, obedient to yours. Good night.